Right now, I want to welcome in the editor at the Pro Football Draft Preview, Brian Caribou. Brian, how are you doing today?
Good. Glad to be talking to you guys.
Excellent, excellent. Glad to have you. And first of all, this is your time of year. Just give us your little backdrop on how you ended up being a draft guru and following this path, because usually it's just not by chance.
Well, I've been writing for several years at Cheesehead TV, and of course we cater ourselves to Packers fans, and we thought, you know, what better than to put a publication out dedicated to Packers fans as a draft preview. I think we do something unique in that we actually analyze players specifically how they fit into a 3-4 defense like the Packers run, mm-hmm. which not all magazines do. So I do think that's really unique and kind of the approach we take at Cheesehead TV.
Visiting with Brian Caribou here on Sportsline on this Thursday afternoon. From the Packer perspective, if this draft was a runway model, is she a 10? Is she a 9? What are her strengths? Is it deep at one position, not so much at another? What's she got going for herself?
Yeah, I think the draft is deep at certain positions and not others. You'll hear a lot of people say how this draft has good depth. It doesn't maybe have the elite players at the very top, you know, your first-round draft choices maybe aren't quite as good as what they were in past years, but then you get down to the late rounders, and I think there's good depth there and better than the caliber of players you've seen in past years. So I think positions that are really good, really deep, are tight end this year, safety. I personally like the running backs myself. I know maybe not everyone agrees with that, and some of the offensive and defensive linemen too.
Visiting with Brian Caribou here, editor of the Pro Football Draft Preview and writer at Cheesehead TV. Okay, so after 2 days, I'm thinking the Packers could take care of a lot of needs and fill a lot of holes and get some really good players if, and this is in my go-to-bed-at-night dreaming, Marcus Hunt, day one, move up second round, get a Gavin Escobar, the tight end, and then, you know, for good measure, trade in again up in the late second round and get Jonathan Franklin running back. Escobar, Hunt, Franklin, call it a day. What do you think?
Well, the thing with Hunt, I really like him too, the defensive end from Southern Methodist. The thing you've got to watch out with him is he's already 25 years old. I think he'll be 26 during the season. Do you want to invest a first-round draft choice on a guy who's going to be 26 years old before the season's over? That's kind of old for guys just coming out of college. By the time his next contract comes around in 4 years, you know, he'll already be 30. So I like him. I don't know if you spend a first rounder on him. Maybe you're more comfortable in the second, third round, and you try to get a more a guy who will be around longer in the first round. I'd like the other guys you mentioned as well too, Gavin Escobar. He's, you know, generally considered one of the top three tight ends in this year's draft class. Kind of the consensus one and two are Zach Ertz of Stanford and Tyler Eifert of Notre Dame in no particular order. And Jonathan Franklin out of UCLA, he's a great running back. He's kind of got that good combination of size and speed. Absolutely, I think he could be a day two draft choice on Friday. So I like all those guys. I do have questions about Marcus Hunt just because of his age.
See, well, the one thing with Hunt's age, though, I would expect him to want to and have to contribute right away. And at 25, you sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal. Yeah, you know what? By the end of that, if he blossoms and you want to pay him, you pay him. If not, you let him go in free agency. But at least you're getting a guy maybe right in his prime, closer to it, as opposed to a guy after a year or two develops, and just when he's getting really good in year three, now you got to decide to extend him or not. Just a thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, another positive with Hunt is he's like, you know, what is he, like 6'8"? The Packers don't have a whole lot of height on their defensive line. Guys like DJ Raji, Ryan Pickett, they're 6'2", 6'3". They got no guys who are like 6'5 and over, so he would provide that. That's something the Packers don't currently have on the roster, and just kind of brings that added element. So from that standpoint, I do like that as well. The age thing's my personal preference, but again, I'm not Ted Thompson.
On with Brian Caribou. You can check out the Pro Football Draft Preview at CheeseheadTV.com. Brian, you've been to the Combine. What is one of the reasons that players, we see so much movement in mock drafts and draft boards so far after the college season?
Oh, you, Yeah, I mean, it's all over the place. It's hard to gauge a player's stock, you know, after the season, because that's before the All-Star games take place. That's before the NFL Combine takes place. That's before all the pro days take place. So they get all these measurables, you know, they run their 40 times, they run, you know, jump the high jump and broad jump and shuttles and you name it. And then you start taking a look at, you know, they measure them, their height, weight, arm length, even hand size. Those things are all important. And then at the NFL Combine, they had medical checks as well. They're giving these guys x-rays, MRIs, things that, you know, might not be known to the common person until you really start poking and prodding and finding these things out. And that's why I think you see a lot of shuffling, because of all these things.
Visiting with Brian Caribou, editor of the Pro Football Draft Preview and a writer at Cheesehead TV. Okay, Brian, you said you're not Ted Thompson. That's okay. I'll be Ted Thompson for the purposes of this. And I'm calling you in for your expertise, okay? And I'm saying, Brian, I'm going to jump up about 10 spots or so. Give me a player that you think would be worth moving up and being aggressive in day one for Green Bay. Who would it be?
If there's one person I would jump up to grab, it would be defensive lineman Sheldon Richardson of Missouri.
Oh, not Sheldon Richardson. Oh, I'm kidding.
He seems to be a guy to me that is both a very good player as both a run stuffer and a pass rusher. I think he can do both of those things very well. And a guy who can play in both in the Packers, their base 3-4 defense, as well as their sub-package when they go into nickel and dime. He can be an interior pass rusher, one of those guys who's a three-down type of player. You know, there's going to be some guys coming off the board real early on the defensive line, like Sharif Floyd of Florida. I don't think the Packers get a sniff of a guy like him, but guy who might, you know, jump into those, 10 through 20 picks could be a guy like Sheldon Richardson of Missouri. Could be interesting to a guy like Green Bay.
Offensive line side, you wrote a feature on Barrett Jones in the draft preview. It's a guy that we've talked about a lot here on Sportsline. Where do you think he fits with the Packers if they'd be able to get him second, maybe late first round, second round?
Yeah, Barrett Jones, he part of a very talented offensive line there at Alabama. He's, you know, one of the top three center prospects, kind of. I think you see a consensus around the league. You look at mock drafts, things like that. His name's thrown in there with the kid from Wisconsin, Travis Frederick. Also Brian Schwenke of California. Those are kind of the top three centers this year. I think all those three guys are probably worthy of going sometime before the end of day two. So, I'm not sure if any of them are first-round material, but certainly in the second round, third round, they're there. They could be a starter for a team like the Packers, who they have Evan Dietrich Smith. He's the kind of guy who's been with them now for a couple of years. They've never really given him, you know, the full-time starting job. So one of these guys could come in here and compete with him from day one. Not saying they would be just given the starter's job, but would be an immediate competitor to Evan Dietrich Smith.
Visiting with Brian Caribou here on Sportsline. Okay, Brian, finish the sentence for me. If the Packers take one Wisconsin Badger in the draft this year, it should be blank.
I guess I would have to go with center Travis Frederick, just because he's the kind of guy who I think will be available. The Packers can address another need in round one, and he might be available for round two, round three. A guy who's a bigger body. He would be a little bit more mammoth than the type they've had at center in the past, and Scott Wells and Jeff Saturday last year. But I think that's kind of the way the Packers are going on the offensive line. They're kind of getting away a little bit of that zone blocking scheme, doing a little more pattern blocking now. So he might fit the change that's kind of taking place slowly in Green Bay. They haven't gotten rid of the zone blocking scheme yet. I'm not sure they ever will totally. But you know, if they want to really get that ground game going, of course they've had a good ground game at Wisconsin. They run a pro-style offense there. Travis Frederick could be a guy who fits their system.
You know, that's interesting. Here on our board, Travis fell a little bit, but that's just because it's been pesky trying to get him for an interview. But we've been working on it. But, no, I think that's a probably and I know a lot of listeners are really glad, Brian, that you didn't say Monte Ball.
Monte Ball, you know, I like him. I say this all the time about him. He could be a jack of all trades, but, you know, as you know, with some people who get that title, they're also the master of none.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you have with Monte Ball.
I'm with Brian Carvey. You can check out his work at cheeseheadtv.com. After running back, in your opinion, what do you think is the Packers' second biggest need that they need to fill in this draft to be successful next season?
I think the Packers have an immediate opening at safety right now. Charles Woodson, they released him in the offseason. The Packers do have a couple young options there with Jerron McMillan and M.D. Jennings, but I don't think either of those guys played so well this past season that they are just the unquestioned starter at safety for the Packers. So they have an immediate opening, a guy who could come in again and at least immediately compete for a position. He's going to have to earn it no matter who it is. But, you know, in the first round, it's hard to say when these guys are going to come off the board. A couple of the top two options, in my opinion, are Jonathan Cyprian out of Florida, or Cyprian, pardon me, out of Florida International, and Kenny Vaccaro of Texas. They're both kind of guys who are going to come off the board probably mid-round one. Maybe they last till late round one, and the Packers could get a sniff at them. But that would certainly be a good position for them to address because of the opening there in the secondary.
They can get somebody who does what Harrison Smith did for the Vikings last year, stepping in and played very well against the Packers, actually, at that position. Also, okay, give me one name, one player. Going to write it down that you think the Packers will take, that Ted Thompson will take in that first pick. What do you think?
Oh, with the first pick, I'm going to go with Tyler Eifert, the tight end on Notre Dame. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, perhaps, that he would last that long. I'm not sure he will. I think he's, in my opinion, the number one tight end in this year's draft class. So I don't know if he might be a little valuable to teams selecting ahead of the Packers and will last that long.
Will he run block enough, do you think, Brian? Will he run block enough?
That is probably a weakness of his, certainly. It's not as good a quality as his you know, pass-catching abilities. I do think with JerMichael Finley having only 1 year left on his contract, that could be a position where he comes in. He's the number two tight end for 1 year, but in a year from now, he could be the number one tight end option, of course, depending upon what they do with JerMichael Finley.
I like the tight end. I think it's intriguing, too. And especially if they do a little double tight end action, maybe try to get a running game out of that. That's why I asked about his run blocking. But he's certainly big enough, just a matter of how willing, I would guess. But, you know, Green Bay, maybe that's probably another reason why it's a good place for him to land. It's interesting. Anything else about this draft as far as suiting Packers' needs? Do you feel like the Packers fans at the end of the day, at the end of the 3 days, are going to be pretty happy with where their team is at again?
Yeah, I think so. You know, something over the course of seven rounds, and the Packers have eight picks because of the one compensatory draft choice they got. I think the Packers do have to go heavy on defense once again. They went really heavy last year. You know, their first six choices were all on defense. But, you know, it really didn't help all that much. And maybe it's just a case of these guys still have to blossom that they selected last year. But, you know, just between offense and defense, if you look at the team last year, the weakness was still on defense. So I think the Packers are going to have to address that a little bit over the course of seven rounds. Maybe they get that safety. Maybe they get some help on the defensive line, even at linebacker. So those are all places the Packers will be looking to address throughout the whole course of the draft.
Brian, thanks for the time. Thanks for the draft guide, by the way. Really appreciate that. And, man, this is your time of year, so enjoy.
Thanks a lot, guys, and enjoy it, and we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.
We'll
get together after the draft. Brian Carvey, editor of the Pro Football Draft Preview, writer at Cheesehead TV. His draft guide available for $6.99 at cheeseheadtv.com.